Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is G. Brian Benson, author of Finding Your Voice. Brian is a multiple award-winning self-help author and filmmaker, actor, speaker, consultant, inspirational poet, musician, radio personality, published children's author, finisher of more than 50 triathlons, including 4 Ironman distance races, cross-country bicyclist, and someone who believes in you. Boy, he's got a lot done. Anyway, Brian is author of 4 books, Brian's List and Finding Your Voice, which we'll be talking about today, and the other ones, and 2 e-books called The Art of Balance and Discover Your True Self. Brian is now completing a 5th self-improvement title, Be Yourself to Free Yourself. Brian's new book, Finding Your Voice, was an award-winning finalist in both the 2013 Indie Excellence Book Awards and the National Best Books 2013 Awards. For more information, you can visit his website, which is www.gbrianbenson.com, and that's GBRIANBENSON.com, and I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. And also on his homepage, on his website, you can join Brian at Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube. So with that, let me go ahead and welcome Brian to the show. Good day, Brian. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you, Robert, for having me.
Boy, I got tired just reading about all of your accomplishments there. You do quite a bit there.
Well, thank you. Some of those things that I've done kind of feel like they were a different lifetime ago. But yeah, you know, I've lived a very blessed life and been busy at times.
Well, that's good. It is really good. You know, and the one thing I noticed about all of those different aspects, they all really tap into creativity. I mean, they all seem to really draw from that creative, inspirational kind of spark of life.
Wow, you know, that's interesting. You know, it wasn't really until about 5 years ago when a lot of the creative aspects of what I'm doing have kind of come out of me, and I was, and it took me a while to kind of really be okay with sharing them. You know, for a variety of reasons, you know, self-worthiness, you know, who am I to be doing this, those kinds of thoughts and stuff. But the triathlons were an earlier time in my life and were very fun, and it just kind of was a lifestyle for me, and I gained a lot of confidence doing them. But all the creative aspects have been fairly recent, you know, when I left the family business about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's interesting. Now, it would seem to me that the triathlon lifetime would be one that really kind of would hone discipline. It would kind of really draw, you know, kind of make you follow or to become more disciplined. It's like one of those things where, like, for example, to be a writer, you know, you have to apply that. You have to be disciplined in your writing, you know. So
sure.
I think that maybe it would be the same kind of discipline that you applied to your running that you apply to your other endeavors as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I was lucky at an early age. I got into triathlons kind of through a knee injury. It was kind of ironic. And I just, as I rehabbed it and I started getting into shape, I kind of set a small goal for myself to do a short race, a short triathlon, and I did it, and I really fell in love with it, and it just gave me this, I felt alive. And so I continued doing them for about another four years there, and then I did a few more about 15 years later. But it did help me learn how to be disciplined and you know, and get up at 5 in the morning to go swim before I went to work, or get a run in on a long run in on the weekend. But, you know, also it's interesting. I think that I was just following my intuition for both the triathlon experience as well as the writing and some of the other creative endeavors I've done. I just had a feeling like I was supposed to do them. And so I just followed that nudge, and I was just kind of guided along the way through each situation. But yes, definitely, you know, I definitely did have to, you know, be disciplined as well.
Okay. Well, you know, why don't we, if you wouldn't mind, why don't we kind of just do a chronological journey, you know, so to speak, since you have books and that kind of thing. And this way, I really want the listeners to kind of really get a sense of who you are, because again, you know, you have done so much, and I, my guess is that not everything always worked out 100%.
All right.
Okay, so, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I noticed in one of the reviews, I think I saw of someone that wrote about finding your voice, that talked about, you know, how you inspire people to kind of finish things and to do things. And I know that, you know, there are, here's the quote, I think, from your webpage, it's, there comes a time in our lives when it becomes more painful for us to stay mired in our old habits than to step out from our comfort zone and risk the unknown as we journey toward finding our true voice. You know, I personally know right now, on one hand, I can count people very close to me who right now are in that mired old habit pattern right now. And they're really having a hard time kind of finding a voice. So let's go ahead, and you talked about you had the you know, the triathlons. What kind of came next?
In the early 90s, I was headed to the Peace Corps, and I was going to teach public health in Morocco. They had me all ready to go. And I went to Colorado to live with a friend of mine for those 6 months while I was waiting to leave. And I met a woman, and we dated a little bit, and she ended up getting pregnant, and that is how my son came to be. And so my plans changed, and we were married for a little while, and it just didn't quite work out. And after that, I just took over the family business and did that for 11 or 12 years, you know, while trying to live away from my son. He was about a short plane ride away, and so I didn't see him very much. And so, you know, that wasn't easy, but you do what you have to do. I started getting this burnout at working at my at the family business, and I knew that there was something else I was supposed to do. I didn't know what it was, and, you know, I just knew that I was not growing there anymore. And so I had a chat with my father, and he was understanding, and we decided to sell it. And so it took about a year for us to get everything going and get it listed and find a buyer and actually do the exchange. And that last 6 months, I was just really, really struggling because I was just ready to hit the road, not knowing what I was going to do, but ready to hit the road. And I just came up with 5 things that I knew that would keep myself in balance. I just felt like I was supposed to do that, so I focused on those 5 things. One was drink more water. Another one was make sure that I got enough sleep. Another one was make sure that I got some daily exercise. Another one was to make sure that I allowed myself to have some alone time every day, because I'm kind of an introvert, believe it or not, and I need quite a bit of regeneration time. And the 5th thing was to make sure that I allowed myself to be creative a little bit every day. And for me, being creative at that time was playing my guitar a little bit. So I just focused on that, and it helped me a lot. And I just knew that I was kind of supposed to expand the list and make it into a book, even though I'd never really written anything, you know. And so I just did it. The book kind of came through me in about a month, and that was Brian's List. And I self-published it, and it just kind of it's amazing how it just kind of pointed me in a whole new direction. And so after I left the business, I wanted to reconnect with my son and be near him, and so I moved down to Reno from Oregon. He lives in the Lake Tahoe area. And I moved down there to be near him while he was in high school, and so I was there for 4 years. And it was wonderful just for the fact that I was able to reconnect with him and see him grow. But also I realized later that I needed to be someplace where I was anonymous to kind of reinvent and recreate myself with the books and all the other part, the learning how to be in front of people with speaking and the acting kind of came along unexpectedly, but I needed to do that in a place where I kind of felt anonymous, you know, and safe. And as mm-hmm. I worked on myself. And so that's kind of, I guess, what led me, you know, to the place that I am at right now with the books that I've written and some of the acting I've done and some of the shorts I've done and such. And it's just kind of happened here in the last 5 years.
Wow. That's something that's been in the last 5 years. You know, one of the things that, first of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about each of them, but first, let me start with balance. You know, I noticed on your website, you know, you deal a lot with balance and talk about how important it is. Matter of fact, one of your workshops or classes or seminars that you provide talks about balance. So, And when you look at it, I mean, the water, sleep, and exercise, I mean, those basically are all physical, take care of the body kinds of things. It seems like that's kind of a critical place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I having done all the triathlons and stuff, I just really, for me, you know, I think I have a lot of energy, and so it was – exercise is helpful for me, even though I don't race anymore or train like I did. I still go to the gym and I hike a lot. And so for me to kind of feel like I'm in flow, and I know it might be different for somebody else, but I need to move my body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, along with that comes, you know, eating well and healthier, and I'm very attuned to what I should put into my body, because of all those years that I did race, I was really sensitive to that, and so I know what works for me and what doesn't, and, you know, I'm not judgmental about any foods, it's just that I know what works for me, and so I try to stick to that, and that helps me stay, another way to stay in balance, and I think if I get the sleep, and I get the exercise, and I get the food and water, it just makes everything else kind of fall into place for me, and I can relax a little bit. If any of those kind of don't happen, they're kind of like the building blocks of my balance scale, if you might say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when I am doing that, then creativity flows better for me. I think clearer. I'm happier. I'm more optimistic. And most importantly, I mean, I think one of the most important reasons people should try to stay in balance is you can hear your intuition come through clearer. And for me, that's the name of the game, is to really trust and listen to one's intuition, because that's I think true guidance. And I've always really, even though before I really realized what I was doing, I've always kind of lived my life through my intuition.
Yeah, well, you know, and that is. I mean, I agree with you there. That's kind of critical in order to really maximize your life and kind of make things flow, or to allow things to flow more smoothly, you know, every time. I mean, if you follow your intuition and that clear guidance, it really does make it much easier. And you know, it's kind of interesting. I have a couple friends lately a couple friends and me, or, you know, when it came to sleep or having sleep issues. And there was one of my friends had days and days of interrupted, you know, just not quality sleep, and she was talking about how it really threw her off, and I understood, but then there was one night I was just like completely awake all night long, and no matter what I did, I could not get to sleep, and that next day I was a bumbling idiot, you know what I mean?
It's tough.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, in today's society, I think a lot of people don't put the the proper value that we have, you know, that sleep provides as far as regenerating ourselves.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so I really try to stay aware of that. And you know what I also do? I also try to meditate once or twice a day, you know, for 15 minutes to a half hour, however long I kind of feel like doing it. And that helps me sleep better as well. And it also kind of, I think, maybe on those nights that I don't get enough sleep, it just helps me retune and kind of catch up a little bit, if that makes sense. So, and, you know, that's another wonderful way to allow the intuition to come through as well. But I very much believe in that.
Yeah. Now, and also a couple of the elements that you talked about for balance were alone time, you know, and I think, yeah, that's one of those things I think, again, you know, in today's environment, especially parents who are kind of, you know, juggling so many different roles you know, that type of thing. Sometimes it's, you know, really difficult to schedule that alone time, but yeah. it seems critical to be able to just to be quiet, you know, that little quiet time.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, you know, for introverts, it's that much more important too. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, creativity. Now, you know, you said that you try to allow each day an aspect of creativity. You've got so many different things. I mean, between author, actor, filmmaker, speaker, coach, you know, do you just kind of allow your intuition to kind of tell you which avenue will be
today?
Creative
yeah.
today? Yeah, yeah.
I do kind of, actually. You know, I just moved to Los Angeles 10 months ago, and it's been great.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of great connections. And, you know, so, yeah, I just, you know, I listen to my intuition. You know, it's not like I sit and write all the time. I usually only write when I kind of get a hit about something. It maybe happens while I'm hiking, and I'll just get an idea, and I'll just kind of maybe voice it into my phone, and I'll email it to myself, and that usually becomes a blog or something. You know, I just show up. I just continue to show up, and I try not to push. And, you know, I go to auditions. I'll get the occasional job. I just kind of put myself out there and just try to meet like-minded folks. And, you know, it just, it's worked for me,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
you know, I've struggled, believe me. There was a time when everything kind of started happening, the books and such, and I felt like I needed to do it a certain way or, you know, I would watch somebody else do it and I would kind of try to copy them, and it just, I ran into walls. I mean, there was a part of me that, I mean, I'm a really fun, kind of easygoing guy, but I lost some of that for a while because when the book started coming through me, I felt like I needed to be almost, you know, perfect or almost not pious, but just because here I am writing self-help books, and so that really messed me up. You know, I just need to be me, and that's,
yeah.
you know, that's what people want, and so it's been interesting. I've
yeah.
learned a lot about myself.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've only written one, so I mean, you know, that was just an experience in itself. But you know, and it really does teach you a lot about yourself. Ego, you know, ego gets in there, and you know, when you get criticism, it's like, oh my God, what are you talking about? You know,
yeah.
And you know, and the thing is, I think you really hit the nail on the head. It's people really aren't looking for perfection. You know, they're actually really, I think, find, you know, someone who's realistic and honest and open and sincere, as I think that's a much more attractive to people than, you know, someone who tries to present themselves as, you know, perfection or an
yeah.
unerring expert in whatever it is that they're trying to promote.
I totally agree, and it's been a lesson for me. Not that I was ever trying to not be myself, but yet, you know, as I worked on my own self-worthiness and such, I mean, it got, you know, I don't know, it's just gotten easier and easier just to be, I mean, I've always really tried to be authentic, but I mean, the more I know what I'm doing, it's just like, that's the only way to go. I mean, authenticity and vulnerability really are kind of the new currency, and people, if they're not getting that, whether it's a relationship, from their job, from a politician, whatever, it's really sticking out now more than ever. And,
yeah.
and I think.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and right now, I mean, people just can't hide. You know,
yeah,
it's, you know, all those things, those little, you know, inconsistencies, hypocrisies, all of those kinds of things that sometimes people try to present to the world are just coming to the forefront. And, you know, and I think people are just getting smarter too, you know, and more discerning when it comes to, you know, what they see and what they hear and how they evaluate some of the information that they're receiving.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and I think consciousness is changing too, you know, throughout the world. And with that comes different ways of being able to maybe read situations. We can do it almost energetically or intuitively now. And so it's there's no place to hide, like you said.
Yeah. Well, you know, from there, you talked about your first book, Brian's List, 26 mm-hmm. and a half easy-to-use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life. Okay, now, I told you before we came on the air, I have to know what that half one was.
Yeah,
26 and a half.
Well, you know, I had 25 things, and
okay.
I came up with another that I knew that had to be in there, and I think a friend of mine said that, wow, you kind of need to have maybe an even number. You know, 20 or 25, and I said, you know what, I'm going to make it really weird just to make it memorable for the heck of it. And so the half is just another chapter that just has a whole bunch of other things listed that might keep one in balance, and I don't go into detail on them. And so that's what the half does. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you're right, it does stand out. You know, I mean, it does kind of, you know, pop out at you. And, you know, and that's kind of really what you want when, you know, when you're trying to promote a book and that kind of thing. You want something that people remember. So, and
sure.
It sure stuck out with me. If you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing maybe what one or two of those ideas are that you listed?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, we've talked about some already, but some, here's a simple one. Leave 10 minutes early. For me, you know how stressful it can be sometimes if we're just heading out the door, kind of racing to get somewhere, whether it's work or what have you, and we know it's going to be really close time-wise if we get there on time. And it's just, mm-hmm. it's a horrible ride over. I mean, you're always stressing if you hit a red light or if you catch a train or whatever. And so I just really kind of became aware of that and started leaving 10 minutes early, and it just made my drive over there pleasant, number one. And number two, I got where I was going in a great mood, and I wasn't stressed from the get-go. And so I think if, you know, people can leave 10 minutes early to something, that's a really smart little maneuver.
Yeah, and now that you're in L.A., should be leaving 20 minutes early.
Yeah, or a half hour. Depending on the time of the day, sure.
I've been there, I know. That 4:05 can be a mess.
So. Yes, a rush hour, it is bad. It's bad. Let's see, what's another one that I like? No, there's a lot of good ones. I think treat myself with respect, that's another chapter. I think that's huge. You know, so many of us unknowingly don't treat ourselves with respect for whatever reason. It could just be in our thoughts. It could be in our self-talk. It could be maybe with the people that we hang out with. And it's just, if we want to really be our best version of ourselves and really kind of try to live from our core essence, you know, that's kind of step number one. I think I have a quote in my book that says, love for yourself is the bedrock for your entire foundation. And so, you know, I think that's very, 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 very important to love ourselves and to honor who we are and what we have to work with. You know, until we really can, it's hard to kind of draw in the people that we want to truly draw in and attract the certain jobs, situations, experiences that we really want to bring in because we're blocking ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I have a kind of just a couple, you know, comments. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, and that's kind of one mm-hmm. of those areas that I look at often for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of recent examples on that one is I had an individual who I who asked for my help on a particular project, and I provided help and didn't get anything, no, not even an acknowledgement of the work put out. And I was like, wait a minute, you know, what is this? You know, I mean, it was one of those cases where I really felt that my value as far as the time that I put in and that kind of thing just wasn't acknowledged. And in the past, I would have been fine with that. I mean, it was in the sense I was just helping someone and that was just it, and I would have let it go. But now, and then I think this kind of goes in really talk about, you know, people around you. You know, it became important to me, you know, to surround myself and to be involved with people who recognize, you know, the value of what I do, you know, and likewise, you know, for me, you know, I mean, it's a mutual thing, you know, so for sure. You know, it's one of those things. And then another one of my friends is a jewelry maker. And one of the things is she has such a hard time, like, pricing her product. And a lot of times she underprices because of the time. And it's, you know, just because of one of those, you know, things where it's like, well, you know, I don't know if people will pay for that, you know, or this, but it, you know, the whole thing I think it really amounts to is the idea of really not fully accepting the value of our time and our creations and putting it forth as something of value.
I totally agree with you. I was that way with my first book. You know, I just didn't really, you know, who am I to be doing this, et cetera, et cetera, and it just, I didn't really, you know, it was a lesson I learned as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, and so anyway, I just want listeners out there who are, you know, kind of going through that, you know, to recognize that. I mean, because that's the one thing I really, and why I was really looking forward to having you on the show is because, you know, I had that sense that, you know, the things that you have accomplished, and you've accomplished quite a bit, you know, and to know that most of what we see is kind of like after the reinvention, you know?
Oh,
you know,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, and the fact that it's like within 5 years, it's like, you know, that's like a drop in the bucket of time, you know, when you sit back and think about it. And you know, for people out there who feel that, you know, it's too late, or, you know, or that, you know, it's going to take me forever to reinvent myself and, you know, what I can do, that's just not the case.
Well, agreed. And you know what my biggest lesson that I've learned so far, I mean, I've learned so many, but the one for me that I'm really focused on now and I struggled with for most of the 5 years was just enjoying the moment and being in the moment and enjoying the ride, because I it wasn't that I wasn't grateful for all that happened. I really, truly am and was. But I just kind of looked, all right, say, you know, after something happened, I said, all right, well, what's next? Because I kind of have an idea of where maybe things are headed. And it just kept me from just really having fun and from enjoying stuff. And so right now I'm just kind of taking a half a step back with everything and just really trying to just live in the moment and just have fun and just let things, I mean, my road is paved, you know, and just show up and just have fun and everything will take care of itself.
Yeah, you know, there's. Gosh, I had one woman on my show. Her name is Eva Hare, and she had wrote a book called the. Had to do with consciousness. I can't remember how the title is escaping me. But in that particular book, she spoke with a PhD quantum guy, and he was talking about how, you know, we're kind of like in the back seat of a car, you know, with our little. In a high chair with a, you know, with a little plastic steering wheel, where the front of the car is being guided by, you know, God, the universe, or source, or however you want to put it, you know, and it's like we have to remember, you know, we can turn our little steering wheel, but, you know, it may not go where the car goes, you know, but just to enjoy the ride.
I was trying to control too much, and I love that. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Well, gosh, we're halfway through the show already, so this is flying right by. I know. So I want to take just a quick 2-minute break, and then when we come back, I want to go ahead and shift our focus now to finding your voice, because that's a topic that, you know, I've been talking a lot or working at a lot also lately. So, okay, so everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
How much does it cost your community per year to care for one homeless person living on the streets?
According to Philip Mangano, president of the American Roundtable to Abolish Homelessness, in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times on March 8th of 2012,
cost to communities for each homeless individual can be as much as $150,000 per year. We can't afford to go on ignoring the plight of the homeless. Wouldn't it be better to augment traditional programs so that a temporary fix becomes a permanent solution? My name is Frank Fudge, on behalf of the Home Ownership Pride Enriched Retraining Center. For the cost of providing services for just one individual, we can rehome, re-educate, and re-establish as many as 6 currently homeless people as tax-paying citizens. Utilizing the tiny house concept and educating for available jobs, Hope RC will assist these individuals in restoring their pride, dignity, and self-esteem. To find out more and to donate or volunteer, visit www.hoperetrainingcenter.org. Home Ownership Pride Enriched Retraining Center, building a solution for homelessness one person at a time.
Hi, I'm Roy Worley, and I'd like to talk a little bit about Robert Sharpe's thought-provoking and insightful book, Joy Potential. I personally witnessed a wellspring of people who have responded to share their personal experience as to how reading Joy Potential affected them and their life in a very positive way. It's been interesting also to see how different parts of the book really impact people at different levels of their consciousness. So if you have not read and then reread Joy Potential, get your copy today.
Become a part of that wellspring of readers that Roy just spoke about who have improved their life by reading Joy Potential. To get your copy, visit www.joybook.me. Buy it, read it, and start living a life that's happier, more peaceful, and one where you maximize the joy potential that life has to offer. Visit www.joybook.me now.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, do visit my friend Lynn Ann Moon's nonprofit website, HopeRetrainingCenter.org. That is such a wonderful organization that she has together to help veterans and see if there's anything that you can do to help her out. And again, I do want to thank Roy for his testimonial for my book. I very much appreciate that. Okay, we're back to today's show. And again, my very special guest today is G. Brian Benson. He is author of Finding Your Voice. He is also a filmmaker, actor, speaker, consultant, inspirational poet, musician, radio personality, and finisher of triathlons. You can find out more about Brian by visiting his website, which is gbrianbenson.com. And again, there is a direct link to his website there in the show page description. And on his website, you can connect with him at Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And you can also check out his blog, speaking, engagements, and all kinds of stuff. So, okay, Brian, we're back.
Awesome.
Great. Okay, now I want to kind of shift to finding your voice. Let's talk about that. What was the inspiration for this? Kind of what led up to that? And if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, I noticed that you have different like poems and stories and that kind of thing. So what is the structure of the book?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a little bit of everything. It's a bunch of writings that I had done over the course of a couple of years, and it's a compilation. I guess that would be the best way to describe it. And each little story or chapter is just a couple of pages. So I think I tend to write maybe in layman's terms, but with depth. And so everything that's in the book there is just kind of part of my growth process, and as well as I know everybody else's, because we all have a lot in common. And so, you know, it was a lot of what is written in there is just really kind of helped me move through things and get to where I'm at today, as well as my desire to help others do the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk about finding your voice, you talk about a true voice. And what would you say, how would you describe one's true voice?
Wow. You know,
is that a loaded question?
No, I'll try. You know, I think one's true voice is just when they are being true to themselves, when they are honoring who they are and their desires and what they want to do and how they want to share with others and how what they want to create and you know, and all that comes from their guidance via intuition and such. But I mean, when you're living from your essence, when you're living from your core self, and you're just honoring who you are, and my next book is probably going to be called Be Yourself to Free Yourself. And for me, you know, I've had to work on this during the course of the last 5 years myself, you know, of just totally fully accepting myself and who I am and what I've gone through and some of the incorrect stories that I told myself. And as I shed those, I just realized, you know, it really truly is just about being who we are and honoring who we are and what we want to do and just not worrying about trying to look like other people or be like other people or act like other folks, because that never brings happiness or fulfillment.
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, I've I'm sorry if I keep using myself as an example here, but you know, that's I just am really kind of honest with the listeners, because I just, you know, I feel that these are the kinds of things where a lot of people are going through it. I mean, again, I have one of my friends who's an astrologer who our paths seem to be like side by side, you know, as far as like the kinds of challenges that we go through. And one of the things that we've been finding recently is that we've really been kind of speaking our truth, you know, what that is, and really not accepting. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that Sarah Bareilles song, you know, Brave, you know, where you just kind of let the words fall where they may, you know, and really not, as long as it's not, you know, in a malicious way,
sure,
but being able
sure.
to be honest.
You probably feel like you dropped a lot of weight off the shoulders when you do talk, when we do speak like that, don't you?
Yeah, it does. It actually, it does. Now, it does have its consequences.
Yes.
and that's kind of what I'm wondering, you know, with finding your voice, if, like, for some of the things I've had, you know, some of the people who don't appreciate being told, you know, my perspective, you know, especially if it's something that has been like a negative pattern that has been affecting me that I want to drop and change. And, you know, you talked about those beliefs that we have that we sometimes need to shed. With finding your voice, did you have that at all? Experience that at all?
Well, you know, I think that there's definitely been some folks, friends along the way that weren't ready to maybe kind of make the same step into their growth maybe as I was, you know what I mean? And so, you know, they kind of stay behind. And
right.
you know, all you can really do is, it doesn't mean you don't have to be their friend anymore, but you notice that you it's hard to spend as much time with them as before because you're different. And you're vibrating in a different, you know, energy level, and you know, when you start to bring in kind of the like-minded folks that are kind of along the same growth process or path that you're on, and you know, you want more positivity in your life, and you want more things around you to support you in your growth, and taking those next steps that are, you know, as you continue moving forward. So, I've definitely had some of that along the way, and you know, it's tough when you have a good friend who maybe doesn't support what you're saying because they're still kind of stuck in the same thing and they're fearing that you're going to leave them. You know, it's their fear pretty much coming out, and I would imagine, or their fear of maybe following along or, you know, stepping out of their uncomfortableness.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the one thing that I've seen is that, you know, with this little growth of truth, you know, that we kind of try to create for ourselves, is that you know, there will be people who just don't want to, you know, kind of follow the same, because it takes work. I mean, you know, it's sometimes not an easy thing to shift some of these patterns that are long-established patterns. And it takes kind of a lot of conscious decision-making, different decision-making.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And you know, especially if you're getting some friction from, well, I mean, we're conditioned in so many ways, you know, via society, our family, the way that we were raised, et cetera. And if we're getting some friction from those of that are really close to us, potentially family members, and those that have taken care of us and those that we have looked up to, it really is a brave act in a lot of ways to, I'm not saying leave them or never, you know, communicate with them, but I mean to step into your own self and to, even if you're not getting that support that you would like to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, really when we stop and think about it, we only have a certain amount of time and energy, you know, in the day. And truly where we put our attention and who gets that attention really does create a reality. And if we, you know, continually have someone who's supporting, you know, a negative cycle that maybe we, you know, had as a child or we grew up or even, you know, as adults, that, that's not helping ourselves. And it's really not even helping the other individual either, you know, when you really think about it.
Yeah, right. And it's a trust walk. And as we continue to move forward and learn about ourselves and gain more awareness and just kind of take those steps, you will draw in other people to support you. You will draw in the right folks, you know, other people that are in the same boat or who can inspire you to kind of continue moving forward. And it gets easier and it gets easier and it gets easier. It's a trust walk.
Yeah, very much. Now, I noticed on your website that you have a way for people to sign up to receive a newsletter. And in it, you indicate that they can receive 10 free mantras to live by that come from the book Finding Your Voice.
Yes. Yes.
So I want to let everybody know that they could do that. And would you mind maybe sharing one or two of those so that people know and they can maybe sign up and get the other eight?
Of course. see here, I've got my book in front of me. Number one is just, I will listen to my heart. I will follow what it says and stay true to its message. And then there's a little sentence below. It says, our heart or intuition never gives us false messages. It is divine guidance leading us if we're willing to listen.
Okay.
So that's number one.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Yeah. And number three is, I will love and be non-judgmental to all others. Now, I know that might be a tough one for someone to grasp onto. You know, when I say love, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you need to give them your time or energy or power away. It just means, you know, just they're tapping in at a different level than you are right now, potentially. And so what it does is it will help free us up if we can do that rather than hold grudges or spite or what have you. And so, yeah, number three is, I will love and be non-judgmental to all others. And under that it says, there are many different paths and many different lessons to be learned. What might work for me might not work be true for another. We are here to guide and assist each other to be the best that we can be, but with the understanding that each one of us holds the key to reaching our own goals and tapping into our highest being.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's, I like that one a lot because, you know, as much as I don't want to judge, no, it's what it, no, but it is very true that, you know, when, and I'm glad that you made the distinction that loving doesn't necessarily indicate you are kind of buying in or supporting or, you know, someone else's view. You're just kind of allowing them to have whatever view it is that they have. And just not judge that. It's kind of just allowing each person to really live the life, you know, that they're choosing to live and having the beliefs that they want to have. And that whole judgment, you know, the idea of holding grudges and being angry and condemning and that all of that is just, to me, is gosh, it's a big waste of energy, really.
Well, it's a big waste of energy, and it's poison for us because you know, when we love others, even though we don't have to necessarily communicate, I mean, we're basically loving ourselves because we all come from the same place. And so when we hold grudges or we hold whatever against somebody else, it's not our true essence, and it will hold us back and it will block us from receiving what we really need and want to live by and receive.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like those. So everyone, they can go ahead and go onto your website, sign up for your newsletter, and get the other eight. So,
thank you.
All right. Well, if there's any kind of message, overall message, or, you know, some of the takeaways that you would like for readers to get from finding your voice, what would you say they would be?
Well, ultimately, I just want people to be themselves. And I really don't try to tell anybody what to do, but I just try to live by example and share what's worked for me and what didn't work for me and kind of where I'm striving to go myself. Because I think we're all kind of wanting to head in that same direction. And so I just want people to accept themselves and really, really just that's kind of the first step of moving forward, you know, everybody's voice is important, and when we are living authentically, other people witness that, and you may not know that, but people witness that, people feel the energy of it, and it inspires them to want to do the same, and which just makes everything else better.
I agree, and that's great, and it sounds like this book really could be for anyone, you know, I mean, young and old, you know, introvert, extrovert, you know, anyone.
Well, I think, you know, the beauty of little stories, and I know I do it myself when I read other people's works or listen to someone speak, it's not really, you know, it's all, I know that I do, and I'm sure everybody else does too, but you're reading something and you put yourself into that same position because you maybe have an idea about something that was a situation that you were in that was very similar. You know what I mean? And there's a great quote, and I forgot who said it, but something along the lines of the audience doesn't come to see you, meaning the performer necessarily or the writer or whatever, they come to see themselves. And I really believe that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Okay, now I want to talk just about, we're down to about 13 minutes left, so I want to kind of just touch on a couple more aspects of G. Brian Benson. And one of them is the Guitar Man film project. I watched the little, you know, YouTube video you have on your website. I liked it. So would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about that? Because I think it's really cool.
Well, of course. Thanks. Yeah, you know, that was really a lot of fun. And that was basically the first time I ever really had acted. But I got into acting when I was in Reno. I took some speech classes. I knew that I would need to be in front of people as I created the books, and that scared me because I had that fear, you know, of speaking in front of others and being in front of others, et cetera. And so in addition to the speech classes and a few other things I did, I thought it might be interesting and helpful to take an acting class. And I did that, and I got way more than I bargained for. It helped give me a lot of confidence, but I found that I really enjoyed it as well. And as I pursued it the last 3 years, and taking some really fantastic classes here in L.A. and other places, I found it to be very, in addition to just learning so much about myself, I find it to be very cathartic, and I also find it to be a great way just to be creative. And so Guitar Man came about. I had this little dream, basically. I do play guitar, but I'm kind of a closet guitarist. I've never really played in front of anybody. And, Yeah, I'm starting to break that now, but I hadn't at that point, and I thought it would be brave of me to go downtown on the streets of Reno and just play for some change. And it never happened, but I guess that thought stayed in my head, and I had a little dream, and that's kind of how Guitar Man came about. I just wrote it down, and I met a young filmmaker and talked to him briefly and asked him if he wanted to do this project, and he said, yeah. So like 2 weeks later, we're down in Reno over the course of 3 or 4 nights, and we filmed Guitar Man. And it was just kind of, it was one of those things when you know you're just supposed to do something and you're not really sure where it's headed, but it just lands. My books are like that too, but But we just used a lot of folks that we just found on the streets of Reno and incorporated them into it. And it turned out to have a whole bunch of different kind of messages strewn in and out of it, in addition to the ones that I kind of wanted to put in there myself. And so it was just a really fun project that allowed me to gain a lot of confidence and hopefully put something out there that other people could relate to and enjoy in their own way and learn, you know, the lessons that they needed to learn from it too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, you know, the idea of it coming in, it was an actual physical dream that you had?
It was in that state between being asleep and awake, you know, where you're kind of awake and you just, this, where we're really connected, I think, and it just popped in and I just got up immediately and wrote it down.
Well, you know, that's one of my favorite topics on this show. I mean, I'm a very vivid dreamer, and I record all of mine, and I've had many, you know, many people on here who have do dream interpretation, wrote dream books, dream dictionaries, but you know, people whose books. I have one lady who wrote a children's book who's on my show, and the whole idea came, you know, with her fiancé who had passed on in the dream, you know, and it was just like clear as day. She just woke up, wrote it down, and boom. And it, you know, and I kind of watched her through that whole development process, and it's wonderful, because to me that's the epitome of making dreams come true. You know what I mean? That's great. And you know, the one thing I loved about the video, you know, short that you did, first of all, you had some wonderful characters, you know, the people that you ran into, they're really funny. And the one thing that stuck out in my mind was when you made the recognition of the different reasons people gave you change. You know, from impressing someone to enjoying your work to, you know, just passersby. I mean, it was like
out of guilt.
To me, that just stuck out.
Well, thank you. I mean, it really, I don't know, that just popped in and just, I mean, it's so true. You know, and it, I think it just, it really is an interesting, it's an interesting way. I mean, if we really figure out why we would give something to somebody, it tells us a lot about ourselves.
Yes, it does. It does. And I think that was it. It kind of really just, to me, it showed all of the different kind of facets of human nature, you know, as far as, you know, what, you know, how people would, because it's also, I mean, the whole idea of giving change to a street musician is kind of like the idea of, you know, giving value to a stranger, you know what I mean, and you know what the motivations are for that. So anyway, I enjoyed that. That's why I really kind of wanted to just put a little plug in there that I thought that was a great creative effort, and I want people to go on and listen to it. And what they could do is they just go on to your website, look under extras, and then there's a link that says Guitar Man Film Project. So.
Yeah, talk about it on that page, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And then one last thing, as I want to mention, is your blog. You know, you have a blog there, and you know, at WordPress, and you know, I want people to go there and check. And you know, the one thing I really liked about that was the entry that you had last month, you know, about writing tips. You know, I mean, it's something very basic, but very helpful, I think.
Well, thanks. You know, it's interesting because I, in some ways, I don't feel like I'm a writer. I don't know why, because I feel like I'm a conduit, and I couldn't even tell you the definitions of you know, dangling participle or adjective and stuff like that. But it's just yet I'm able to, I feel like, do it, and so that was good for me, just to kind of, because I get asked that a lot. You know, what has worked for you? And so I just thought I would kind of spontaneously come up with some things that kind of shows my style or the way that I got into it.
Yeah. Well, you know, for mine, I mean, I'm very much the same way. I mean, I was told in like 1992 that I would be, in 2012, I'd be writing a book that would be published.
Oh my God.
I know. I was like, so in the meantime, you know, of course, like almost 20 years in between, here I am diligently trying to write, you know, and my background was corporate America. So everything I wrote was ended up being a training program. You know what I mean? It just wasn't a book, you know? So, but then one day it was just on a walk, you know, the whole plot came to me, and then every day I would get what I was going to write, and I would go back and write it, and didn't even know the whole story until I got there. And that was the one thing, you know, that I really liked about one of those tips that you had was like, trust your intuition, you know, and, you know, to me that was a really important aspect when it came, I believe, when it comes to writing and not to question what it is that comes through.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I think a lot of people who are just starting out wanting to do that, they feel very weighted down by the process of having to go from A to Z, and they're not quite sure how they're going to, like, do it. And so, you know, like you just mentioned, I would just kind of write little bits and pieces at different times, and sometimes that would be a chapter, sometimes it would be part of another chapter, but it all fell together.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that because I have so many authors on, and a lot of them go through regular traditional publishers, you know, and the whole idea of they have an outline, and then they do a sample chapter and submit it. And when I looked at that process, and what I did, I was like, there's no way it would fit into that mold, you know?
I hear you.
So, you know, and I'm so happy that I did the way that I did it, you know, and self-publishing is the road I chose because it's something that you can do and you don't, you know, you can put out your words the way you want and not really be dictated to. But you know, to me that was critical, you know, to be able to allow things and not get all wrapped up in structure and form and what is traditionally done and, you know, fitting into a mold, because I don't think really inspiration fits into a mold.
No, not at all. And it's a lot of molds are starting to kind of fall to the wayside, as we kind of talked about earlier. So, you know, it's just whatever touches people, and I wrote the books basically for myself first, and everything else has just been kind of icing on the cake.
Yep. Well, Brian, this has been a lot of fun. I knew it would be, and I'm really glad that we had this time together. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Well, my pleasure. I've enjoyed it very much too, Robert. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I am following you on Facebook and Twitter, so I look forward to our social connection there and following your journey. And now when that next book becomes available, you make sure that you let me know, because I'm going to want to talk about that with listeners. So, you know, you've got an outlet here to talk about it if you'd like.
Well, thank you. I would love to. Count me in.
Great, very much. Okay, great. Everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And again, today my very special guest has been G. Brian Benson, author of Finding Your Voice, and he is also a filmmaker, actor, speaker, consultant, poet, musician, all kinds of roles that Brian has fulfilled. And you can find out more by visiting his website, which is gbrianbenson.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. And you can also find his books available on Amazon, so check them out there. So everyone, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadio Me and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at ByteRadio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.